Well, good evening, class. We get another chance to share our second class with you on spiritual authority. Last week, we talked about, and I said I need to go back and share a little bit more about the difference between power and authority. It's a little bit different, but I think I was satisfied with the last class, and I think we've got it across to enough to understand where we're going. And don't fret if you don't quite understand, but because as we go down the line, this is just the second day, as we go down the line in this class, I think the revelation is going to open up more, because authority is a revelation. This book about submitting to divine authority, submitting to God first, you see, and then submitting to whom those God had delegated his authority to. It's kind of like the bottom line of what these classes are all about. And because God put people in the fivefold ministry, if you read Ephesians 4:11, that apostle has set his whole apostolic school based on those scriptures. Ephesians 4:11, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. We're going to find out that how we are to so fully submit that so God can release exactly what he needs to release through the fivefold ministry, that you can do the work of the ministry. You see? And so, without further ado, class, I want to move on to the next subject. In our class, finish reading that first section I gave you, but on God's throne is established on his authority. And I want to go a little further, class. I want to go a little further, and to understand better what we're talking about, I want to look at the next section. It's the appendix in here in this book. It's called the Origin of Satan. And we put these two together, I think it's going to give us a more clearer understanding of what we spoke about in the last class, because it's so important that we get on the same page with this lesson. So the origin of Satan. Now, I got two sets of scripture I want you to see. The first set of scriptures here is, give me a moment here. Let's see. I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah 14:12-15. Isaiah 14, verses 12-15. Now, Isaiah 14:12, starting at verse 12. Okay, I got it. Now, in this section of scripture here, we're going to see exactly how this rebellion started in heaven and how it transcended to us as the spirit of rebellion came into the earth realm, and it began with Adam and Eve in the garden, but I want to go pre-Adam. Before the episode with the forbidden fruit, as some may call it, or the tree of good and evil that God told them not to touch, not to eat anything off of it. But let's see what happened to, to Lucifer, one of God's ministering angels, one of the three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and that was Lucifer. And each one of them upheld one-third of the heavenly beings. And each one of them had a third of the angels with Michael, a third of the angels with Gabriel, a third of the angels with Lucifer. And they were God's created being, and they were servants of God, and they were ministers of God. One scripture called them the ministers of flaming fire, Hebrew. Aren't they ministers of flaming fire? They did the creative the works of God. You see angels all throughout the Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. They play such a great part in God's service. And we're going to see what happened. Just what happened that caused chaos in God's creation, and how God dealt with this rebellion, and how God never wanted this to happen. And even the angels themselves, God would not control their will. God always respected the will, W-I-L-L, of his creation, because God did not want anyone to serve him robotically. God didn't want forced service, cheerful heart God wants, joyous heart, loving heart, pure service, pure obedience, you see, with no objective, you see it? And so our service should be pure and holy with no objective, based on the love of God, and because we love God, and because God loves us. Now, I hope you're in Isaiah 14 and 12 yet. All right, let's read it, and let's see what happened here. And it was a sad day in heaven when God had to do this. Don't think God was all joyous when he did this. God never liked to see anyone fall. Anybody fall or any created being fall. But it wasn't God's fault. He did it to himself. When people fall, it's never God's fault. We do it to ourselves. When people rebel and they have to suffer the consequences of it, it's never God's fault. God always give them a way in the space of repentance. You see it? Here it is, 12 verse 8. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? My goodness. He fell from heaven. Jesus said, I saw when Satan fell from heaven like a flash of lightning. I'm paraphrasing it. You see, because Jesus was there when he saw Satan fall, when his father kicked him out of heaven. And the Bible says a third of the angels went with him. One third of the angelic host, and became his demons. One devil, but many demons. You see, I'm not trying to go into demonology class, but we got to touch a little bit here. That's one devil, but many demons, many workers of Satan. And so when Lucifer became Satan, the third of the angels were more submitted to Lucifer than it was to God. So they went with Lucifer. He was such a convincing devil. And he still is today. He's such a convincing devil. He turned the truth into lies. He tried to turn lies into truth. Remember I said that. He turned truth into lies, and he tried to turn lies into truth. He wants you to believe what he's saying is the truth, and everything else is a lie. But we believe that God is true, and everything else is a lie. We know the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? God called them to serve his sentence upon the earth. Earth became God's sentence. You see it? Which did weaken the nation. For thou hast said in thy heart. Now underline these next few. I don't know if I is a pronoun. But every time you do the word I want you to circle it. Circle it in your Bible. Because rebellion always starts with I. It's always about you. It's always about you. Well, in the apostolic, we find out it's always about God. It's all about you, God. Not never about me. And when you think it's about you, oh my goodness, you're about to enter to the realm of satanic rebellion. It's never about you. When you start feeling sorry for yourself, you got to be mindful because Satan about to shift you into another realm. When you start thinking about everybody is against you, when you become involved with something and more tensions on you than on God, Satan's about to sift you like wheat, what Jesus said. Oh, nah, don't let him pull you into that room. Because it's never about you. It's all about God. So when every time it try to come to about you, I want you to sit down and you think about it. Lord, no, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about you, God. So why the circle the word I, and you're going to see something that caused Satan's heart to turn. Now, you can circle the I and underline the will. Well, that's not an underline. Underline will. Circle the I and underline will. And you're going to see a revelation will come out of this. And let's say, and for thou hast said where? In his heart. So we about to see rebellion about to be born for the first time in earth. Rebellion didn't start in heaven. It started on the earth. You see, there's no rebellion in heaven. God wouldn't let it begin in heaven. Satan's dominion was to take care of the garden. It started on earth. There's no rebellion in heaven. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven. There's no sin in heaven. So Satan was assigned to the earth. If you study the scripture, you see, he planted the gardens. That was part of his assignment from God. Made everything look good. And that was his assignment. And so one of the keys was, he thought, because he did all this, I should have the dominion over the earth. Listen to me, class. Because he spent all his time beautifying it. And then when God created man, here he give man all the authority over the earth. And whatever you name all the animals after, that's what they're going to be. You see it? So now Satan becomes jealous. Because I put forth all this work, all this effort. We did everything to make everything planned for somebody else to God that lower than the angel, that lower than me. And now he's got dominion. Oh no. This not gonna be. Now, I just gave you that little side view to see what's fixing to happen here. Now, I will, for thou hast said where? In his heart. So where does rebellion start? Rebellion starts right here. Well, I'm just pointing here, but we know. In your heart. In your soul. In your mind. These thoughts are planted in your mind. And your mind subject itself to it. It becomes subject to these thoughts. But Satan was the originator of this. He birthed this rebellion, because there was no rebellion before Satan and Lucifer began it. Everything was good and pure and holy until this evil was birthed, or Lucifer birthed this evil in himself. Now, I will. Now, circle the I, underline the will. Remember I said earlier, God will not come against your will. Satan was a, Lucifer was a created being. And God will not come against your own will. Are you with me? But he wants, in reality, your will to line up with his will. Yea, Lord, thy will be done. Jesus, when you pray, pray this. Thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. In the garden, 26th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, not my will, but thy will. You see, when the garden was being created by Satan, and when God did give the dominion to Adam, you know what Satan should have said? Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Because he was at the crossroad there. He didn't understand it. Anytime you don't understand it, something, say, Lord, not my will, thy will. Now, that would have killed this thing dead. But no, he wouldn't let it go. He held on to that. He wouldn't let it go. All this dominion to a mere human being made out of dust, and God breathed the breath of life into him. He became a living soul. And now God gonna give all this dominion to a man. And I've done all the legwork and everything. And this creation should belong to me. I should be the God of this world. Yeah. And so we find out that Adam forfeit his authority. And according to Apostle Paul in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, Satan did become the God of this world because Adam sold the lease out. And Satan became the God of this world, still is today. But he don't have to be the God of your world. You see it? And that spirit of rebellion still roams throughout the earth. You see it? One scripture said he told God he'd been up and down the earth. And he's trying to find somebody to devour. Now, I'm trying to get you to see something here about this authority and this rebellion now, and dealing with the will of Satan and how his will overrode God's will for him. And so he rebelled. Rebellion starts in the heart. Now, remember I said that, Claire. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. My goodness. Now, he's going to extend his throne above the stars of God. And look what else he said. Look what else. I will, underline will, also stood upon the mount of the congregation. My goodness. And the sides of the north. Verse 14. I will, circle I and underline will, ascend above the height of the clouds. Now, here is the straw that broke the camel's back. I will be like the Most High God. Oh my goodness. I read the same scripture said, God said, there should be no other God but me. God is the only true sovereign God. And this way Satan made his exit, and God made earth his place of reigning, as a demonic fool. Satan had to be stripped from his heavenly angelic position and got demoted to the earth to crawl on his belly upon the dust of the ground. All his power stripped from him. He said, well, I thought Satan don't have any power. Yeah, the only power Satan has is what you give him. You see, Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, give no place to the devil. Now, if you don't give him place, he don't have none. Because what Jesus did, Jesus stripped him of all his power and authority against the children of God. He had no authority over us, no authority over our will, unless you yield to him. You see it? Unless you yield your will to Satan's will and follow after him. So my point is to show you how this rebellion came into the earth realm and how it became available for God's creation to become rebellious. Now, Satan's job is to turn every human being against God, take them in spiritual hostage, and keep them separated from God, and so they can go into everlasting punishment with him in hell. His job is to bring as many into the kingdom of darkness that he can. Yeah, he's on the crusade. His job, Jesus said, is to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. So now this spirit of rebellion is reigning throughout the earth. All Satan's demons, demonic angels are saturating this earth atmosphere and trying to influence every being upon this earth to follow after him and to resist and rebel against God. Now, I'm at this stage now in this class where now the spirit of rebellion is roaming throughout the earth. You see, we got a better covenant than the old covenant. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God within us. You see it? The priests and the prophets and the king were able to have the anointing of God upon them. But now through Jesus, God gave his spirit upon all men that we can resist every temptation and every demonic power that Satan has, that we're not be under his authority no more, but he still have an influence over us if we yield our will to him. And now this spirit of rebellion only can tempt those who are weak, those who are unlearned, and those that are not born again. You see it? So I try to bring us up a little bit more in this class than the last class. Now I'm gonna bring them back to a statement we made last class. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority, because sin against authority, which what Satan did, is sin against God himself. Satan, in this 14th chapter of Isaiah, sinned against God himself. I'm going to be like the Most High God, he said. And that direct rebellion. Oh, my goodness. So every time Satan brings us into this realm of rebellion, then we come against God himself. Well, the only way that we get redeemed from the spirit of rebellion is through a repentance and a turn of heart. And God got to know that your heart been turned. You see it? So it's more easy, sin against power or sin against God's commandment is more easily forgiven than sin against God's authority. Because when you sin against God himself, God can say, I got to know that I got your heart. I got to know that you ain't going to turn back from me. You see it? So, whenever you rebel against God, you got to You got to go directly and deal with God. And sometimes we rebel against God's representative. We got to go to that representative and get released through that rebellion. And that's what people don't understand. They hold themselves hostage through rebellion. Yeah, do Christian rebel? Yeah. Can he be forgiven? Yes. But they got to go through repentance. You see? And the reason why more easily forgiven, because God don't forgive people that are rebellious, because Satan is still have some dominion over your mind, and it's harder because now he didn't build up a stronghold in your mind telling you why you're right to rebel. He gave you all kind of excuses. Well, because they did this and because they did that. And so it's not that God doesn't forgive you. You don't want to be released. It's hard to release yourself because now that he got all these demonic principles coming against you. It's just pride. You see, high-minded. That's why the Bible tells you to stay away from those things. You see? Pride was one of the number one cause of Satan's fall. And that spirit of pride is a demonic force that has to be reckoned with. And to be redeemed or to be recovered from rebellion, you have to die to who you are. You have to really die. And that's why it's more difficult. We didn't say it's impossible. It's easy because you got so many other demons that don't want you to be released. He tried to keep these strongholds in your mind. He don't want you fully delivered. You see? So you can repent in word, but your heart's still messed up. You still got this thing in your heart. Hardness of the heart then got to you. And God wanted to, So as we go into the class, we're going to show the kids not to even let that old spirit get upon you. Not let nobody put the wrong things in your ear so you won't have to enter into rebellion. This is the external part of this lesson here. This is the shell of the whole lesson. Now, we're going to crack this thing open. And we're going to get into the internal parts of it, and the working of submission. The cure for rebellion is the spirit of submission. And that's what this book is all about, how to walk in the spirit of submission. No, we're not going to deal with the negative. The negative is going to take care of itself, but we're trying to eliminate the negative. And we're trying to learn what submission is. So once you learn submission, you don't even have to think about rebellion. Rebellion is history, all right? So that's why the first class, I tried to stay in that mold to try to get you to understand the foundations of what we're trying to get to. I'm trying to build on something here that once we build a foundation, it's going to be no problem to get the building built once the foundation is set. And this class also is like a part B of the foundation. The origin of Satan, how this thing evolved, how this thing was created, how this thing was injected, and how this old spirit came about on the earth, and how God dealt with this spirit. Now I got one more scripture. Well, we got to go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, let's see what scripture is in Ezekiel. If you read ahead in your book a little bit, we're going to find out right now where this in Ezekiel. Let's see. Ezekiel 28. So turn your Bible with me to Ezekiel 28, verse 13 through 17. Ezekiel, this is the part B of it here. Give me a minute to find it. And I'll give you a minute to find it. Y'all getting anything, class? And notice I'm taking my time. It might seem like I'm struggling a little bit. I'm not struggling because I've been here a few times before. I've been teaching this class for a few years. And every year I see something I didn't see. 28 and 17, I think I said. Yeah. I think that's it. When you get it, say amen. Ezekiel 28 and 13 and 17. 28 and 13. All right. We almost there, Claire. Hope y'all getting something here. 13 verse says, Ezekiel 28 and 13, had given forth upon usury. It don't sound right here. No. I'm in the wrong chapter, class. Why y'all didn't tell me? I mean, chapter 18 is 13. Let's see. Hold up. Ezekiel 28, not 18, 28 and 13. Ezekiel 28. I'm going to get there yet. See, that old devil don't want me to find it. Ezekiel 28. I got it that time. And 13. Y'all got it and probably looking at me. Look what it says here. Now we're making sense here. Excuse me. It says, thou hast been in the Eden, in Eden. You see, this is why I wanted to show you that this was Satan's domain. His assignment was in the Garden of Eden. So he knew all about the Garden of Eden. He knew exactly where God planted the tree of good and evil, the plant. Matter of fact, God used him to plant those trees, and the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge, and all these other fruits of the garden that God had created. Satan was, he helped God through his creation with them. So look what it says. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Satan was. Lucifer. Every precious stone was thy covering. My goodness, God dressed them. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabernacle, and thy pipe were prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. This Lucifer was created. God, just tell me he was one of the most beautiful angels that God ever created. His beauty was so great. You see it? Now, why? Thou art the anointed, call him the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said thee so. God said him so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created. See, he's a created being. Now, until iniquity was found in thee. My goodness. He was beautiful in all his creation, in all the ways that God created him. He was anointed cherub until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. You see it? And thou hast sinned. What's called him to sin? His sin is his prideful. And he took ownership where he shouldn't have took ownership. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountains of God. So, my point was, there's no sin in heaven. There's no rebellion in heaven. Never was rebellion in heaven. All this took place upon the earth. You see it? God dealt with Satan upon earth. Because this was Satan's assignment was upon the earth. You see it? God cast him down, he cast his position of authority out of heaven. Satan is not permitted in heaven no more. He can't rule or reign in heaven with all the angelic host anymore. He's been become an outcast of God. God put him in isolation. My goodness. All that he had, all that he was, and all that he could have been, he allowed his own selfishness to cause him to fall. Don't allow all your selfishness to cause you to fall. Please. Now this is important here, what we're talking about. He said, and I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee. Wow. O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Pride. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. You see, his wisdom got corrupted. The wisdom of God became demonic wisdom. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, that thou should be a terror, and never should thou be any more. My goodness. So this was Satan's judgment, and his judgment is yet to come. Now, the Bible talks about more when you get to the book of Revelation on what's to happen. All throughout the Bible, really. If you study prophecy, Bible, Daniel talks about it. And then you go on and on to the book of Revelation. It talks about 7 years of tribulation. And then it talks about finally when the end going to come for Satan. And God going to put him into everlasting punishment. Everlasting torment forever. Finally, he's going to be doomed forever. So, Claire, this is far I can go. So I want you to see what we're talking about, the origin of Satan. And I think that kind of clears some things up for us so we can see exactly how this all began. And now I think our first lesson might really start next week. So you've been a good listener. And I appreciate you listening. And we're gonna go further in this lesson. And I'll see you next time. God bless.